All right. So as he reads there in 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Do you know that God directs all things? He does. Now, we have a self-will, no doubt, but God already knows what you're going to do before you choose to do it. He already knows your heart. He knows if you're going to follow him or not follow him. He knows if you're going to trust in the world's riches or if you're going to trust in him. He says that a man's walk is not within himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. Then he asked this great prayer here. And when we pray for correction of the Lord, and we all ought to, because Jeremiah is saying, correct me. I need God's correction, but I want it to be done out of love and mercy. I don't want the wrath of God. When he chastens me, I pray that I would be gentle enough or obedient enough to hear the call of God in a sweet, soft voice where he corrects me, maybe even with his eyes, when he just looks, peers down at me or at you, and he gives you directions for your life step towards the righteousness of God, right? And he says, correct me, but not with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And so, that's how I want to be corrected. But to be corrected that way, you need to be obedient to the word of God. Because if you don't move when he moves gently over you, because he wants the best for you, he will up the ante. He'll get a little bit harder with you. The more you resist, the harder he will push. And he does that not because he hates you, but because he loves you. Right? And this is a prayer of love, and he's confessing, God, I know that I have sinned, that I need correction, but keep me gentle enough, right, that I can be moved with the gentle voice of God, that you wouldn't have to come after me with a rod, that you could come after me with loving kindness, and you could draw me with your mercy. When I read those two verses, and I read them today over and over and over again, it was in my heart, in my mind, God, you got to correct me. I know I need correction. But I pray that I would be gentle enough that you would be, or obedient enough, that you wouldn't have to chasten me fiercely, that you could chasten me gently, and I would be obedient to the first call of God and not have to be pushed to the nth degree to get true repentance out of me. You know, because that's really what the Lord wants. And so, it says in 25, pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him, and have consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. Now, as he's praying this, look at all, he says, God, I want to be gentle. I want to be easily moved. But the heathen, those who will not, those who are doing damage to the body of Jacob, to the land that God has promised us, those people, come after those hard. What would happen if, like in the book of Acts, when you lied to the Holy Spirit, God killed you? Right? When he dealt with the heathen in the Old Testament, those who didn't believe in him, wouldn't walk with him, those who confessed that they knew Jesus as their God and still rebelled against him, and he came across or on them with a harsh fury of God. And he did it not out of anger, but out of love. These heathen, God still loves because they're still made in the image and likeness of God. But because they will not repent, they will not turn away from their false beliefs, they will not turn back into the heart of God. Jeremiah says, then go after them. Go get the heathen. Go get them. Drive them back. Crush them. Kill them, is what he calls out for. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Right? So when the world does what the world does, when the heathen does what the heathen does, it eats up the good of the land. America is being eaten up right now by the heathen of the land. Right? The reason that we're not a strong nation anymore is not that the church, those who really believe in God, aren't following him. It isn't that. The ones who really believe in God are asking to be chastened or asking to be purified or asking to be made whole. But the heathen, they're coming against it and they're eating up the good. They're consuming, thank you, Lord, for this. I just thought of it. In Ezekiel, when God talks to Ezekiel to go and look at what the priests are doing. They're going, there's the hole, but where they go and they water, they trample on the watering holes, and they take all of the good of the land, they take all of the good stuff, and they leave nothing but waste and residue behind. And he comes against those priests harshly. And again, it is right after he says there's a little hole, go look in the hole and see the abominations that were going on. And then it talks about those priests that go out and they, instead of ministering to the poor, instead of ministering to the hurting, they just go and abuse them and dirty up the good things. That's what happens when the world is running the church instead of Christ running the church. They take the goodness of God and pollute it where it's not even worth eating. And I see this in America today. And as I go through Jeremiah, it's almost like on every verse I see, well, this is America, that's America, this is America, right? And how do we get out of this? But God, right? That's how we get out of it. It's when the people of God come to God with all trueness of heart. And then verse chapter 11, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. I'm going to read 5. That I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, and give to them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I answered and said, So be it, O Lord. So look at what the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he says, listen, you need to go to the people. You need to go to the church. You need to go to the men of Judea. You need to go to the people of Jerusalem, and you need to proclaim. Church, this is still a call for those who are really walking with God, because God's the same. And he says, listen, the people are cursed because they did not obey the voice of God. All these things that we're seeing happening, the sexualization of children, the open drugs. My wife was reading to me this lady from Portland, right? And she was a woman, lives in a tent, has a real nice coat on, lives in a tent. The government gives her all of her money, and she says she can smoke as much, be on drugs all day long, and not have to work. Get high. Yeah, get high.
I get 3 meals a day. It's really good here.
Yeah.
I can get, every time I eat, I can get high.
Right. And so this isn't just in Portland. This is happening in a lot of cities and states. It's happening in New York right here, right now. The wickedness are being supported by the ones who choose to do what's right. The wickedness is, and God is saying, listen, we need to go and we need to proclaim the truth. We need to come up before the people that are in power in America, in our area, and say, Ms. Hochul, this is wrong, all right? What you're allowing to happen in this state, your local government, your local school board, when they take and start hypersexualizing the children in school, us parents, us grandparents, have got to have a voice and say, listen, God promised us, he prospered America in supernatural ways, with inventions, with ways to make money, with things that we did. God blessed America. But because we have turned away, We've walked back. We have forgotten the covenant that God made with us in the very beginning when the pilgrims got off the Mayflower and that Mayflower Compact. And I've got to go back to that one because that's the one where the heart of the people was, the heart of those first Americans was not for slavery. They weren't for beating up the Indians. They were for preaching the gospel and living a holy and godly life, and that's what they wanted to do. But of course, greed and government got involved and polluted the whole thing by the time Jamestown got founded. But anyhow, different thing. God is telling Jeremiah that to say, and say, verse 3, unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. All right, we as the born again, anybody who does not obey the covenant of God, y'all remember what the covenant was when God brought them into the land? Obey my voice. It was the Ten Commandments, right? When you come into the land, you need to do what I tell you to do, honor me, don't worship the idols of the land, destroy the idols of the land. In America, when we started out, we did that. We were a holy people. But before long, we started worshiping Baal. We started worshiping. We followed our flesh and not the word of God. It didn't take many years from the time that the first pilgrims stepped off of the Mayflower, desiring to build a nation that honored God through prayer, through supplication, and through obedience to his word, to a group of people, just a couple of generations later, that were starting sin and debauchery, flowing through the land, just following the greed, not walking in the covenants of the Lord. And he says, for which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do them according to all which I commanded you, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Remember in the Exodus when God was speaking to the people, and he was talking, and the ground was shaking, and the lightning on the mountain, and the people said, Moses, go up to the mountain and see what God wants, and whatever he says, we will do it. Remember that account?
They were scared they were going to die.
They were scared because they saw, felt the weight of the glory of God, yeah. Right? And they were afraid of him. Yeah. But God never wanted them to be scared. He wanted them to be in awe of him, fear him, follow him, follow the covenant that he was laying out for them. And all he ever said was, obey me, love me, follow me. If you obey me, love me, follow me, then I will bless you. I will bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I will fight your battles for you. I will send hornets into the field, and I will drive out the enemies. But all you got to do is listen to my covenant. Follow my covenant of grace. Allow me to show you my compassion. Allow me to show you my goodness. But because of the hardness and the sinfulness of their flesh, they would not do it. Even though they said, Moses, whatever you say, when you come down, whatever God tells you, we will do that. But it wasn't long after that that they came up to the promised land, and all they had to do was go in and take it. But they were afraid. They're giants in the land. We can't take it. And that generation died. All that generation died from 20 years old and up, or 21 years old and up. They all died in the wilderness. None of them got to the promised land short of Caleb and Jacob. And those were the two that came back from that expedition into the promised land with a good report that said, yes, we can take it. If God is for us, we can do it. He gave us the covenant. He gave us the word. He said that if we would follow him, he will fight for us. I don't care how big the giants are. Church, do you know that that covenant still is today? Now, we don't have giants, big, huge human beings here, but we have spiritual giants. We have principalities and powers in the heavenly places that are fighting against us. But we still have the same commandment of God. If we will walk with Him, if we will follow Him, if we will honor Him, He will fight those battles through us. But we got to be courageous enough to take the land. We've got to be courageous enough to follow the covenant, to walk in Him in love and grace and mercy. Because if we don't, He will run us out of this land. And he goes on and he keeps talking. And he says in verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I answered and said, so be it, Lord. All right, that needs to be our answer when God tells us these things. So be it, Lord. If that's what you want me to say, if that's what you want me to do, then that's what I will do. And you call him Lord God Almighty, right? And then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judea and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. I love those last three words. It's don't just hear it, do it. Jesus said, if you love me, what do? Obey. Follow his commandments. You do what he, follow the covenant. Do your end of the deal. All right? All our end is to obey. That's all he tells. Remain in the vine, right? And obey his word. It's not that difficult, but it's extremely hard. Because to follow his word and remain in the vine, that means I cannot have a will of my own. I cannot be stiff-hearted. I can't be stiff-necked. I can't say, well, I'm going to do it my way and expect God to bless it. Because God will not bless my way if it is not his way first. Right? When it's his way first, he will bless it. He will bring you. He will guard you. He will fight for you. He will bring you into that promised kingdom that he said that he would give us. But we got to do our parts for it. This isn't about salvation. It isn't work salvation. This is a covenant. God made a covenant. If you obey my voice, I will do these four things for you. If you love me, obey me. If you obey me, these things I will do for you. And that's all he's ever asked from the very beginning with Adam all the way into the very last amen. If we would just obey what the Bible says. And make sure you got the right Bible, because if you don't have the right Bible, what you may read may not be what he said. Even in thinking about that, and I know that we're all King James folks here, but the fall that Eve was deceived in, she only had a little bit twisted scripture. Don't touch it, lest you die. But God never said, don't touch it. He said, don't eat it, lest you die. And so our enemy, Lucifer, said, did God really say? Surely, did God say that? Which gave, so when you just take a little bit and you twist it a little bit out of context, that gives him a foothold, right, to cause doubt in your mind or to promise you something that God already has for you, but he wants you to take it by your power and not by his grace. The covenant of God is the kingdom of God. God has a kingdom for you. He's prepared you for the kingdom, and the kingdom is within you. But you've got to want it bad enough not to hold on to the kingdom of this flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. We've got to get out of those three to enter into the righteousness of God, the peace of God, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I added of God in the two first. Actually, it's righteousness, peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So all of those three come in a package. That is the covenant. You can have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the covenant. If you get rid of me, right? My lust, my eyes, the pride of my life, what I want to do if it's outside of the confines of what God wants us to do and wants you to do. Remember, he brought you out of the furnace, the iron, I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Do you remember when you were in Egypt? I've never been to Egypt, right? Well, actually, you were born in Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of the sin that dwells within every human heart. It is sinfulness. It's debauchery. And that the iron furnace, you were a slave to your flesh until Jesus set you free. You were in that iron furnace. You were shackled. And Jesus came and set the captive free. Amen. He set you free from those iron shackles, that furnace that was holding you down, and gave you the ability to know Him and to walk with Him and to love Him and to obey Him. Before He set you free, you could not obey Him because you only had your senses that you followed. Lust of the eyes, pride of life, lust of the flesh. And I swap those around every once in a while just to let you know that it doesn't have to come in any particular order. The sin is within me, and I need to fight it no matter how it comes up, right? If I really want to walk with Him. And He says in verse 7, "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting and saying, obey my voice." Again, is that not what God has always said to His people? The human race, if you will obey me, then I promise you I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will go before you. I'll fight your battles for you. No matter what happens, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for His purpose. That's a promise as you obey His voice. Right? It will work out for you. You don't have to understand it, how it's going to happen. I'm obeying God. I'm walking with Him. I'm doing what the Scripture tells me to do. And all of a sudden, all four of my tires go flat. My engine blows up in my truck while I'm trying to do good to somebody. It's going to work out for good. Stop your whining. You were doing what God told you to, and then things happen. It's okay. Things happen all the time. Obey His voice, and He will not. And the problem is, verse 8, this is my problem here. "Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not do them." Remember what He said, if you don't obey my covenant, what I will do, I will take you out of the land. If you do not do what I told you to, if you don't follow my covenant, if you don't walk before me in holiness and righteousness and obedience, if you do not do that, then the other side of that is I'm going to let you reap what you sow. If you don't want to walk with God, you don't have to walk with God, but you will suffer the consequences. My wife says it this way. Anything done outside of what the Bible, how the Word of God constructs any subject, whether it be marriage, families, finances, if you do anything outside of the confinement that God gives you, the instruction that God gives you, then it will be a mess, right? It will be a mess. No matter what you think that you, well, I love this person, so the only way that I can get with them is have sex with them. If you don't get married first, right? It's better to marry than burn with lust. But if you do it outside of what God says to do, well, I want to get rich, so I'm going to steal from people. No, you can't do that. I'm going to get rich, so I'm going to cheat the government. No, you can't do that. God said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give to God the things that are God's. Go ahead.
I hate to interrupt.
Go ahead.
This is just...
It's too good. Yeah.
In verse 6 there, it says, Hear you the words of this covenant and do them.
Yes.
Right? There's something about doing that brings, if you go to James chapter,
yeah,
chapter 1 and verse 23 to 25, it says this. It says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Yeah.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth.
Forgetteth. Yeah.
The manner of man he is." When you do this, the Word of God, you remember,
yes,
the Word of God. And then the, yeah, next verse says, 25, "And but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth."
There you, what word? Continueth.
Continueth.
You've got to continue.
Not a,
yeah,
forgetful hearer.
Yes.
See, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Right.
And I think, and we're going to falter, but I think God wants you to do.
To do.
Do it.
Amen.
Because you will remember it.
Yes. The best way that I remember stuff is by messing it up.
That's right.
Right? I do my best remembering and learning as if I mess things up. Yeah. Yep. And I go back and I got to redo them. Well, geez, I won't do that again.
You never do that again.
And you never do that. Amen. I only touched the red hot burner one time.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You know?
And God knows we're going to show
yes.
up.
Yes. Yeah.
He wants us to be a doer of the word because then we won't forget.
Right.
What you know.
And as we're a doer, not only will we not forget, we find out how faithful he is in the midst of the doing of the word.
So I just had to say
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because it needs to eat at us.
Yeah.
In the American church, this concept of obeying God because he is God, because he has a covenant, and be a doer, not just a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. If your brother or sister come to you naked and destitute of food and say and let you know, and you say, oh, brother, I'll pray for you, and you don't do anything, then your religion is nothing. It's dead, right? If we see these things and we don't do what we're supposed to do, if we don't handle the situation in a godly manner, when someone comes to you and you say, oh, bless your heart.
You know, bless you. That man who looks into a mirror.
Yes,
and go with our way, forget, and we forget what manner of man we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that yeah. We forget how decrepit we are,
right.
How ugly we are. Yeah. You know, and so verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words and went after other gods and served them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Wow. Tell me that isn't right. The things that we're seeing happening across the globe, it's not just in America. I keep talking about America, but this is the whole world is speedily, like we've jumped off a cliff away from God. Now, there are a few, just like in Jeremiah's time, there's Ezekiel, there's Isaiah, there's Jeremiah, there's Daniel. There's several people that are still loving God and desiring to do his work, do his word, right? But the majority of the people in Judah and Jerusalem had turned their backs on the covenants of God. They had forgotten how God had dealt with the people before them, their forefathers. They had forgotten the faithfulness of God that brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land. They forgot how God fought the giants for them, how they defeated Achan, how they forgot those things, and they turned their back, their hearts away from the living Lord. We have raised a generation that knows not God, all right? And it's not God's fault. It is the pulpit's fault. It's the church's fault. Way back in the late, early 1960s is when they did it, but 1955 is when the idea started bubbling and the whole socialist ideal turning of the American way, the land of promise through God. We started turning way back then. By the 1960s, when that came, they took the Bibles out of school. By the 1970s, you're not allowed to pray in school. And now look at what is happening in the schools. It's horrid. Drag queens for kindergartners. Why is it happening? Why did it happen? It's because the people of God turned away from the covenant of God. It isn't because there weren't homosexuals, because there were all the way back. Go back in history, Bible history. I can go Sodom and Gomorrah and beyond, right? Kevin, we talked about this the other day. The other things that Sodom and Gomorrah were guilty of besides homosexuality.
Idleness. And bread.
Yes, idleness and bread. Yeah. Gluttony and too much time in your hands. Right? Not doing any work. We have, in the world right now, more people that are refusing to go to work because the government says that they can pay you better. And unfortunately, they do. That's like that girl that we talked about from Portland, that she doesn't have a job. She lives in a tent, but she gets a check every month, right? She's able to eat. They give her 3 squares a day, and she's able to get high all day.
That's a good example.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not just in Portland. That's just one individual that I heard of today. This is happening in North Carolina. It's happening in Alabama. It's happening in Texas. It's happening in California, New York, Pennsylvania. Any metropolitan area in America, this is happening. We have forgotten where it tells us that if a man does not work, he should not eat. Amen? If you don't work, you ought not eat. I tell you what, if we quit feeding them, they would go to work.
Clean things up.
It would.
Yeah.
You know, and put parameters on that. You can't work if you're stoned. You, if you're drunk, you can't work. And if you can't work, you can't eat. And if you can't eat, you can't, you know, you can't live.
What happened to the drug prostitution trade?
Phew, yeah. It would be gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if it'd be gone because they're prostitutes all the way back, you know. It's yeah, it would definitely lessen up, you know, lessen up. And so, therefore, thus saith the Lord in verse 11, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. All right? Because the world is in its shape right now, God is about ready to pour out wrath. He's about ready to pour out evil. He's unleashing the evil, the devil, in this time space that we're living in right now across the globe in so many. And the crazy thing is, as we're talking, and we talked about this in men's group, so many people don't see it. So many people just don't see it. All this sudden death stuff, the football player that dropped dead, he died on the field and then they brought him back to life. Sudden death, young athletes, young teenagers, just all of a sudden dropping over dead, and nobody can figure out why. I have an idea. I'm no scientist. I can't say. But it didn't happen 5 years ago, right? And I watched that play on the football game. He didn't get hit that hard. Not hard enough to start it, because they wear a breastplate. It's different. Like if a hard ball gets hit to you and it hits you in the open chest, yeah, I can see that happening. But they play that game all the time, right? I don't know. But like I said, I'm no doctor. I just saw what I saw, and I've seen folks get hit a whole lot. I saw folks get hit so hard their shoes come off and their helmet flies off, and they get up. And they dust themselves off and they put their shoes and their hat back on and they go line up again. This guy gently hugged this guy and fell to the ground and died. So it sounds queer to me. All right, I'm not talking homosexual. Strange. Weird. The word queer the way it's supposed to be, you know. Anyhow. Yeah. And so God says, I will pour evil upon them and they shall not be able to escape. And though they will cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then the cities, that's hard, right? God is saying that they're going to call out to me for relief, but I'm not going to let them off of what they have justly earned because they didn't follow my covenant. They're going to eat what they have sown. They're going to reap what they've planted in the ground. It's got to come to full harvest. It's going to pay them back what they have put out because they stopped following the covenant. They've broken the laws and the covenants that God has set before them. Then shall the cities of Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of trouble. All right. We may not have a little Buddha God that we burn incense to in our house, but I will guarantee you in America, we have as many little G gods, all right, as India does. There is as many little, whether, amen, there you go. Your cell phone, right? Your cell phone, your TV, radio. I mean, all of these things, and they're not bad in themselves. Yes, they are. All right, even as I said that, it burned my tongue. They are bad in themselves, right? The things we worship, money, right? America worships money, things. We just went through a holiday season, right? Christmas, and we have taken what Christmas was meant to be and turned it into this horribly, well, it's all about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything under the tree, every commercial on the TV, every radio program that you hear, right? All of those things, all of that stuff is just boiled up. And it don't think it's an idol? Tell a kid that the Elf on the Shelf is just a spy for the government. Right? And so anyhow, I'm sorry. We got grandkids that really believe that that Elf on the Shelf is that stuffed doll, that idol that is moved around the house, is actually giving information to the God called Santa Claus, right? That's going to break into their house, slide down their chimney, and leave stuff that makes them forget about the real God. All across America. All across the world. So anyhow. All right. When things start going bad, when God starts punishing, pushing America, pushing these people, and letting them reap what they sow, God's saying, don't have them pray to me. Go pray to the little idol. Pray to your Elf on the Shelf. All right? You're sick. You're dying. Your finances, you've just borrowed more money for Christmas than you can pay back in 2 years. Go cry to the Elf on the Shelf and see if he'll save you. See if he'll pull you out of this mess. And so, where you've offered incense to them, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of the cities where their little g gods were, little cities where thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have I set up altars and set up altars to that shameful thing, even the altars to burn incense to Baal. All of the Planned Parenthood places across America, those are buildings set up to Baal. That's exactly, Baal was the abortion clinics of the day, right? And it's no different, Balak, right? Moloch, yeah, Moloch, right? Baal. And so, verse 14, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me in their trouble. God is telling the man of God, don't pray for these people, because I'm going to do what I have to do. We've already seen this earlier in Jeremiah, where God said, don't pray for these people anymore.
That's it.
Those are hard things. Because I want to pray for the transvestite. I want to pray for them that God would release them. But God's saying right here, don't pray for them. I want to pray for those who overextend themselves on their credit. I want to pray for God, give them relief. Well, God's saying, no, don't pray for them. They did this themselves. They did not have to do it. They could have followed me. They didn't have to be a slave to the lender. They could have lived within their own
means.
Thank you. Praise God. I couldn't think of it. I wanted to say it, but I didn't want to be too means about it.
Now, this is directed to the heathen, or is this directed to the people of God?
This is directed to Jeremiah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one time he says that if the heathen cries out to him, he won't answer them. But then he says, therefore, pray not for them. In other words, he's saying, Jeremiah, don't stand in the gap anymore. Jeremiah, stop praying for these people because, and let them pray to the gods that they worshiped. Let them pray to Baal. See if Baal will save them.
These are the people of God.
Yes. Amen. These are the Hebrews. These are the people. Yeah. These are the ones that were supposed to keep the oracles of God. These were the priests of their days. These are the folks who pervert the word of God for their own profit. Just like Jerry Falwell, right? Just like Swaggart. Now, who's that real clean-cut guy everyone talks about? Anyhow, just like you can, yeah, Olstein. Name the guy, right? Name the guy. If you are doing this for filthy lucre, you're writing books for filthy lucre, then what you have freely received, freely give, right? If they really feared God, if they really wanted to do God a service, God showed them something and they wrote it down in a book, give it away. Give it, amen. And see what God would do with that. I'm not saying these folks didn't hear from God. Who's that idiot, the purpose-driven this or that? Yeah, right? All right. That may have worked for his little church there where he was. It may have been 50, 60 million people. I don't know. Something. So he wrote this little pamphlet. And everybody across America said, wow, this is a pattern. We can use this pattern and get God to do what we want us, what we want God to do instead of what God says he's going to do. Right? And he made a boatload of money off of that. Purpose-driven this or that. And then he went to the purpose-driven that or this. You know, he kept changing it as the purpose-driven this, the purpose-driven that. Well, this book's no good, so we've got to write another book. And so this one here costs just for $19.95, and you too, right? So God is saying, don't pray for these people anymore. Don't stand in the gap for them. And I know that's hard for us to understand. And I ain't saying that that's where God has brought us, but there does come a time where God says, don't pray for them anymore, right? That I used to pray for the revival of the Republican Party in America, right? I did. And I believe that Trump was the man. I was wrong, right? Trump is not the savior of America. Never has been, never could be. And the Republicans that supposedly are in the House right now, they are simply stooges to a really wicked system, right? The whole system is broken. God's saying, don't pray for these guys anymore. In fact, what I can see, the Lord's telling, he's telling me to withdraw from that. Get out of the nationalism, right? Worshipping the country and pride, right? Yeah, worshipping the country, worshipping the Constitution, worshipping the Bill of Rights, worshipping the flag, right? And my wife, she asked me the other day, why isn't the flag on the podium anymore? And I can't do it that way anymore. And it's not that I hate America. My heart's breaking. It, like in Jeremiah, his heart was breaking for Jerusalem and for Judah. Right? It was. He wanted to intercede for them. And God said, stop it. And this is why in verse 16, well, we'll go 15. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing that she hath wrought lewdness with many, and that the holy flesh is passed from thee. Do you see what he's saying? The people of God allowed the holiness of God to leave them. The holy flesh, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God that was supposed to be in them, they, through their lewdness, rejected it and let it pass out of them. Though this is a hard book, but I think this is where we're at in America. the majority of the churches, well, do you remember, all right, this wasn't that long ago, do you remember when on Wednesday night the church would be full? Do you remember where you used to have Sunday evening services? When we came for prayer, right? And I mean, prayer would happen. We can't get folks away from their stupid, whatever it is that they're worshiping now. It's just not worth the time to come to church on Wednesday night. It's not worth the time. We stopped doing Sunday evening services because it was Cliff and Wendy, myself, my wife, and Justin for years, right?
I remember First Bible Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday night.
Night, yeah.
Yep.
What has happened?
Youth groups.
Youth groups.
Were big.
Yes.
I mean, we had large youth groups at Wesleyan Church.
Lots right. of kids. Lots of kids. And now we have none. Mm-hmm. Why? This is a judgment of God against the body of Christ because the body of Christ allowed lewdness to come in and the body of Christ worshiped little g gods. Changing the word of God, the pureness of God's word, into something less than what it was ever meant to be. And God said, if that's what you want, that's what you get. You can have that. Go ahead. If that's really what you want, if you want to follow some other writings and you don't want to follow the Word of God, you don't want to follow the Bible, you want to do that, go for it. I'm not going to stop you, but I will not bless you in what you're doing. You want to do this, you do it, but I'm not going with you. And when you get so far down that road and you're worshiping these little g gods, well, don't come crying to me, God says. Don't call on my name when you never worshiped me before. And now all of a sudden you think because you can throw in the name of Jesus on the backside of your prayer, you think I'm going to move?
Sorry.
No, uh-uh. Yeah, that's so what Wednesday night's
right
for.
Into it,
yeah.
What's going on here in Luke chapter 21,
mm-hmm.
starting in verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise
against
nation,
yep.
and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, great signs shall there be in heaven.
Yeah.
Now we know this is the beginning, right,
of the things.
Yeah,
yep.
The ending.
The ending.
But in verse 12 it says,
Before
all these, they shall lay their hands on
you. Yeah.
And persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and in the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake.
Synagogues. Churches. All right? They will bring you up because you're a hater, because we don't believe that a female lesbian should preach, or a female straight girl should preach, or that a drag queen should come up, right? We watched that video. A church with a gay pastor brought a drag queen right up to the altar and a little girl or two little girls with them and proclaimed how wonderful it is. And because we do not agree with that, guess what that makes us? Haters. And the world is going to hate us. They're becoming louder. I won't say that they're more populous. There's not more of them, but they're definitely louder. And they have the ear of all of the media. They have the ear of the government.
So before all these, those things are going to happen.
Yes.
They're coming for us.
They're coming for us.
And you know what's interesting about, in Jeremiah, God moves out and says to the other Gentile nations, he says, don't think you're getting away from my judgment on the world.
Right.
So that's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that judgment was enormous.
Yes.
In antiquity.
In antiquity,
we don't have the historical records for it.
Right.
But he came against Jerusalem first.
Yep. Right. He came against Jerusalem first. Yep. And then right after that, not long after that, came the time that they called the Dark Ages in history, you know, where not a lot was written, a lot of ignorance went across the world. Yeah.
We're to blame.
Yeah. Yeah, it is all of this that's happening to Jerusalem is because of the people of God. All the stuff that's happening in America today is because the people who claim to be Christians are not walking in the covenant of God. The vast majority. Because I can't say all. My wife has helped me with that. I'm always an all or never. It's all or nothing with me, right? But I can't say that because there are people. There are. God always has a remnant that's always held out for righteousness, for holiness, for goodness, that the seed would not die, right? And praise God, I think that the five of us here is a good picture. Yeah, I know. Well, there's some that may not be. No, and so I didn't count. I just said a number. But in every group of believers, there are a core that absolutely trust God and will walk with Him, go through the fire with Him. When Nebuchadnezzar plays the loud music and he says, whoever does not bow down is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, there are three that says, I will not. Even God's able to deliver me, but even if He doesn't, I'm not doing that. We need to be those three. Out of all the thousands of people in Babylon at that time, well, I don't know where Daniel was, but he wouldn't have bowed down either. He must have been away on a trip. I don't know. It doesn't say. It does talk about the three boys that came into captivity with Daniel that would not.
They must have been really young.
Yes. When they were, Maya. Yes. Yep. Yeah. When they were taken up.
Maybe they weren't born yet. Who knows?
Yeah. Jeremiah, I don't know.
He said he was thinking of the desolations of Jerusalem.
Right.
Daniel,
yeah.
And he considered the 70 years
mm-hmm.
of the desolations of Jeremiah.
Yes.
I think that's chapter 9.
Yeah, it is. And Daniel. Yeah.
So they must have been young.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When they were taken.
Yeah. Or they could have even been in their mom's wombs. I don't know. I don't know the time. Right. They're in the same time period. And so, for the Lord of hosts, in 16, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair, and of a goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled the fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of America, and it says Israel, of America, and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. Why was God angry? Because the people of what he started to be good, the olive tree that he loved, he planted, he tended to it, he had it to grow, Israel. He grafted the Gentile nations into that same rootstock. And the church was born. Well, there's always been a church, but the Gentiles started knowing and walking and understanding God. And now we too, just like them, have turned our back against the one true God of the Creator God. As a whole, I'm not, again, let me reinstate this or say it again. It's not everybody in the church, it's just the vast majority of the church has gone woke. Right? They've, yeah.
I think a lot of the evangelical church
yeah.
are waiting
mm-hmm.
for the bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think they're woke, I just think they're.
Yeah. Well, they're not prepared. They're not believing what the Bible says. They've walked away from the covenant of God. They're listening to the doctrines, the teachings of men and the doctrines of devils. And they're not checking the word of God for themselves.
It all goes back to that.
You're right. And so you can call that woke. You can call it whatever you want to call it. The problem is, the reason that we're in the state that we're in, not New York, but the whole state of the world, is because of the people of God have turned away from the covenant of God and followed their own heart and not the heart of God. this whole everything that we're seeing right now, we think it's, well, in my lifetime, it has never been this openly, blatantly wicked across the board, right? And there are folks that are much, got a lot more gray hair, a lot more years than what I got. And I've talked to them, and they say in their lifetime, Joe, 89 years old, right? He said in his lifetime, in his 89 years, he has never seen anything this wicked on the face of the planet. I'm only 60, less than, because it ain't my birthday yet. God has opened up his wrath and his punishment, because up to here he says he hasn't talked about wrath yet. He hasn't let his wrath out yet. But he is allowing the people to receive from the God that they worshiped. The world right now is receiving from the God that they worship.
Absolutely.
All right? Absolutely. It, across the board, it doesn't matter if you're in America or in Russia or in China or Africa, you are receiving nations that are crumbling because they don't trust the one true living God. But yet, in each of those nations, there's a pocket of people. And they may not be close to each other, but in I have to say, in every group, there must be a pocket of people that trust God. Amen. Amen. They got to be his witness. And they will be persecuted. And because they persecuted Christ, they're going to persecute you if you stand with him. If you don't stand with him, you won't be persecuted. I know I shouldn't get into 18, but just real quick, 18. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. There's some folks that see what's going on. The folks that see what's going on, and I mean really see it for the wickedness that it is, the only reason we can see it is that we are looking for the real, true, living Word of God. And God allows us to see it. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it. Why did it vex Lot's heart when he was on the outside of the gates of Sodom? Because God let him see the wickedness that was there. God let him see it, and it vexed his heart. Our hearts ought to be vexed with the wickedness that is going on across the world right now. But God's letting us see it. He's opening our eyes to the truth. And so, what are you going to do with it, right? Get ready. When you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Folks, I love you. I really do like Jeremiah, but it scares me. I mean, not like boogeyman scared. It worries me because I know the holiness and the righteous judgments of God, and I can see anyone who's really looking at the covenant of God can see where the people of God has broken the covenant of God, and we are reaping the wickedness of the evil of this world because we rejected the righteousness of the one true God. And so, who wants to close in prayer? Will you?
Gracious Heavenly Father, you, Lord, in this book, you pronounce a lot of judgment and pleading with Israel. And I just, they provoked you, Lord, to great wrath and anger. And it was that you pleaded with them, and you pleaded with them, and you called to them, and you called to them, and they chose to turn away. And Lord, we have mirrored the same thing in this country. And I got to say, even myself, Lord.
Yes.
I have disregarded and walked in my own ways and my own paths. And I pray, Lord, for your forgiveness.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
Upon me. And I, Lord, this book, to me, is just the severity of it. The pronouncement of all these severe things, it's only because you are calling and yearning for your people to turn back to you. I mean, that's the other side of this coin, is that it's your love. Your love and your mercy is calling them to come back. Come back, please come back before I rain my fury upon you. And Lord, this is, I believe it's what's happening today. It's what this book, it speaks to me. I see what Jeremiah is proclaiming from you, Lord, and I see what's happening around me, just abounding evil and just darkness that seems to get darker and darker and darker. And Lord, all this, Lord, you're calling with tears.
Yeah.
You're pleading. You're calling and you're calling and you're pleading, and you desire the world, Lord. You desire your people to turn to you first and foremost, and then the world. To repent, and Lord, that you may rain not your fury but your blessings from heaven, and you want to open the windows of heaven and give the blessings of your bounty upon this earth, which we could not even contain if it were all good things come from above. We know, Lord, it's all from you, and Lord, I just pray that in this growing work. Of Satan and the world powers and the wickedness in high places, Lord, you've let this happen, Lord. You have let it come because of the wickedness of this world. And I just pray, Lord, your people will be called apart, separated for your purpose. And I pray, as your word declares, a servant is not above his master. We're not above Jesus, and if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. But I pray that we would be the witness for you, Lord. I pray, I know, Lord, your blessing will come upon us, Lord, in our lives. If we just live a holy, separated life, Lord, and just be used of you and just continue to abide in you, Lord Jesus. And I pray this. I pray, Lord, may we abide in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.